Hey guys, what is?
Oh,
hey
you
guys, what is
pre-flinked.
Up? Welcome to Touch Arcade Show, episode number 420. This is the we have flashing GIFs on the screen.
I think. This how do you feel about putting this up just publicly and embedding it in the post?
Sure, let's do that.
I feel like we're gonna keep mentioning the 420 GIF so much.
If you're a audio only listener. You're wondering what the heck we're talking about. Well, we'll embed the video for you this week as a special season finale bonus. And you can see us flashing our 420 GIFs all over the screen.
For which episode?
That's
Jared?
All Eli, by the way. It's not. I have nothing to do with that.
Episode number 420.
420. So we'd like it to be like Pee-wee's Playhouse when you say the word of the day and everyone screams and we get zoomed in on and stuff like that. But I don't have the energy for that today. So anyway, so yeah, for no apparent reason whatsoever, we've decided that episode 420 will be our season finale. And as you may remember, we left on a extreme cliffhanger last week.
Oh yeah. Someone was breaking into your house.
Somebody was breaking into my house and it was up in the air whether, one of the main characters of this show would be murdered. And so you didn't have to wait like over the summer for the new season premiere to find out. I was not murdered by a home intruder.
It ended up being the Jimmy John's liver guy for episode 420.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, that's
or no, I guess it's Ease, right? Isn't Ease the weed delivery service?
We have Ease out here. Yeah, we sure do.
That makes the most
Ease
sense
guy
for episode.
He eased himself into my house.
He showed up early. He was like, "Oh, sorry, I thought this was episode 420, but yeah. I'm here a week early. Sorry,
come back next week." So yeah, we're immature and we like making fun of 420 stuff, and also it's a reason to have a season finale of our episode. Which, by the way, on a sincere note. That's a lot of episodes.
Dude,
that
it's
is
insane.
A lot of years of doing a podcast.
The cool thing about this is that if either of us die, because like, was it Siskel or Ebert that got throat cancer?
Siskel died from he had a brain hemorrhage or something like that.
Not
Ebert.
Siskel, Ebert.
Had,
well, remember
throat
he had,
cancer?
Yeah, and they like removed his jaw or something, and so he couldn't talk. But. They had so much audio of him recorded that some company, this might have just been a Chicago thing. Did you hear about this?
Yeah,
company synthesized his voice from his actual voice from the show and stuff. And
that's
it was
so weird.
Like, it was, I mean, it was kind of like the new Siri where it's like, wow, this is really good.
But you could still
like just sort of tell that it's not a person talking, but still it was like shockingly impressive how good it was. So
yeah,
I guess if either of us get throat cancer, need a computer to talk for us, or drop dead, computers could emulate us now.
So please somebody take the lead in this project of having them compile all of the voice samples from all of our episodes and create digital voice representations for us in the afterlife. Please and thank you. Somebody take charge with that.
Hell yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah. So it is a big milestone, though. Episode 420. That's a lot of weeks of doing a podcast. And so,
Honestly, we should have a special shout out for Bradley Nicholson, who has been recently lost to us, and that he works in the game industry now. And not, well, I guess not recently. He left fucking years ago. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know. It's like 6 years ago, but yeah.
It's still recent in my heart. It feels like yesterday.
Everything feels like.
But no, I don't even know the first episode of the podcast we posted. It was ages ago. It was like me, Arn, and Blake. It might even been before you joined the site.
It was.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. There was like a good 10 episodes before. I don't think I was on the show until Brad rebooted it.
Yeah. Well, so the story basically is like Arn wanted to do a podcast. I don't remember who wanted to do a podcast. Probably me because I ended up hosting it. But like, it just got to be like too much because like Arn and Blake have like kids and everything else, and it was just like the weekly schedule was challenging, and the other, like the Achilles heel is like we were trying to do guests with every episode. So it was like scheduling with three people, two of which are super busy, plus like an interesting guest who also had a mic that worked and could get on Skype at the right time and everything else. It was like an absolute nightmare. So we eventually went from like weekly to biweekly to monthly to just not doing it anymore. And then when Brad joined us, he was fresh off the Destructoid podcast and was super into the idea of just like podcasting in a general sense. So that's where the Touch Arcade show, I think we went from the Touch Arcade podcast to rebranding it to the Touch Arcade show, which I always thought was weird, but Brad was like so into the idea. I was like, I'm not even gonna argue with you. You're like very into this and I don't care. So.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Interestingly, I'm looking up in the archives right now. We're about a week out from the 10-year anniversary of that first one ever.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's kind of cool. And then
Is it actually a week? Because maybe we should have delayed this one so episode 420 could
it's
have been.
November 2nd by my calculations, but
Oh,
sometimes the
well.
front page dates get screwed up if anybody went in there and updated it or something. So it might have been, I want to say it was probably before November 2009. It's probably sometime in the middle of the
Yeah.
year, but
That does seem late.
yeah. But and then so there's about 13 of the original podcasts and then some random interview ones and stuff like that. And then in June of 2011, it looks like, is when we rebooted
But
things.
we
That
didn't,
can't
do
be either.
we,
It had to
yeah,
be.
that sounds wrong. Maybe
Yeah, that's
WordPress got fucked up in some.
WordPress definitely got screws things up. But anyway, so we did restart the numbering though when Brad rebooted.
Oh, did
So
we? Oh.
yeah, technically it would be at like 433
Come
plus some
on.
bonus episodes.
Those are not canon. The first 13 episodes are not canon. We're deleting them like the Star Wars Extended Universe.
Yeah, pretend they're not there.
When
And there's some
people.
there were some
Well,
bonus episodes with Brad at the helm too.
yeah.
So I mean, we're past 420, but number wise, episode number wise, we made it to this amazing milestone. So
Yeah. I don't know. Those episodes are not canon. They don't exist anymore. If anyone asks me like, "Hey, didn't you guys have like Jason Citron on at one point?" I'd be like,
no.
"I don't know what you're talking about. Who's that?
You must have had a
Didn't you
fever
guys have
dream.
like Amanji on really early? Oh, who?" I
No.
don't remember. That's like you're asking me about like the various Jedi books. Those don't exist anymore either. Speaking of, actually, is a tangent regarding retcons, as long as
Sure.
we're deleting that. Does Knights of the Old Republic technically count as Star Wars canon now? Because like, remember Disney got this is probably the most important thing we'll discuss today, so please feel free to just rap with me for hours on this. But it's because I know like when Disney took over Star Wars, they had this thing where it's like everything, all the extended universe stuff is no longer canon. But does
Right.
that include the video games and
I don't
Knights of the Old
know.
Republic?
Yeah, I don't know 100% for sure, but I believe, yes, that doesn't count anymore. All the games, all the everything.
Are you fucking?
Because they simplified it down to it's the movies and
Well,
then, like, the
this
couple
is.
of the handful of the novels they've released since then that surround the newest movies and stuff like that. And then I think, like, what was the cartoon? Like, the Clone Wars cartoons, I think. Star Wars Rebels or something like that, I think, is included. But it's a minimal amount of stuff now. Whereas before, it was just like a bajillion different things.
Oh my
So I don't
God.
think Knights of the Old Republic actually
Currently,
is.
no.
Yeah.
The original Star Wars had what was called the Expanded Universe, where many writers could write books, games, etc., and would create
Yeah.
stories related to the Star Wars brand. This included Knights of the Old Republic. However, when Disney bought Star Wars, they got rid of the Extended Universe.
Yep, there you go. Hey, here's a
So,
fun fact.
another person says it's like not officially anymore, but yes, because like nothing in Knights of the Old Republic like really.
Yeah, it didn't like touch on anything major anyway. So I think it can just exist. But I don't know. That stuff should be included because it was so well done, but
Yeah, I would actually be kind of annoyed if like they actually had like a stance where it was like, no, Knights of the Old Republic is no longer canon. That would be fucked. So.
I know that we used to fact checking used to be very taboo on this
Oh
podcast, but
yeah,
I've
that's
just
another
been
thing. If we're talking podcast history, fact checking
doing
used to be not allowed.
banned. But I just did some fact checking because I was curious. And so the very first Touch Arcade show ever with you and Arn and Blake was 10 years ago, 3 days ago, the October 22nd.
So this can be the 10th anniversary show.
This is more or less the 10th anniversary overall of Touch Arcade.
The problem is we have to choose. Is this the 10th anniversary of the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Or are those no longer canon and no longer exist? And this is episode 420.
Yeah, I don't know. Can't we have it always? I feel like we should be able to have it always.
This is more confusing than the Star Wars episode universe or extended universe.
What do we include and what do we retcon? And then, so the rebooted is May of 2011. So,
okay.
In a couple of years, we can have another 10-year anniversary of the reboot if you want.
Plus 10th anniversary extended universe.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably be up to like episode 520 by then or something.
I'll be dead by then. Oh, not real.
Yeah, maybe that many. Who knows? But anyway, it's a lot of fun doing all this podcasting stuff. And so,
hell yeah.
Fun to keep it going strong.
Yeah.
And in case you didn't know, or this is somehow the first time you've listened to this podcast,
this is the Star Wars podcast show.
Not a Star Wars podcast or a podcasting archive discussion podcast. This is the Touch Arcade Show, which we talk about mobile gaming and all of that fun stuff. And in fact, there was tons of stuff happening this week. Would you like to start with your big thing?
I would like to start with a follow-up from exactly 1 year ago, almost to the day.
Okay.
So you remember last year we posted about, I don't know if we posted about this or just talked about it, but Halloween City or whatever. A subsidiary of Spencer Gifts, which I learned recently, or Spirit Halloween or any of those other...
the stores. The pop-up stores, yeah.
So they did a deal with Fortnite last year. And remember, I was like, God damn, they've got this like 20-foot long Fortnite bus. Yeah. It's $500. Like, that seems insane, but I really want it because I think that I could start a business renting it out. Remember? Yeah. I said that exact thing. We discussed this verbatim.
Yeah. At PAX, I think.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. I don't remember. But anyway, so this year it was on sale for $350.
Oh, my gosh, what a deal.
Well, no, here's what's crazy. I found a coupon. So first of all, $350, and then they had some like bullshit, like freight shipping fee that was like way expensive on top of that. So even though it was on sale, it hardly was. And I found a coupon, you know, like you do when you like check out somewhere and you're like, this is expensive. They have this huge coupon code like field. Like, let me see what I can find. Yeah. Right. Found a fucking 30% off free shipping coupon.
Jeez. So you got 30% off and free shipping?
30% off and free shipping on the battle
bus. You'd be losing money not buying.
That's exactly what I said. Well, so the funny part was, I was like, oh, damn. That's like, this is like half what I was waffling on last year. Because $500, that is insane. Like, right? But like 250-ish, like, I don't know. That's all right.
It feels like a sign from God.
Well, so no, the true sign was from God was like, I texted Lindsay. I was like, hey, Battle Pass is on sale. How do you feel about me buying this? Yeah. She was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I was like, or something along those lines.
Expecting her to squash it and be like, oh, well.
I remember now. She was like, yeah, why not? And I was like, why not? Because it's a fucking $300 Battle Bus.
Argue with me about this. Tell me not to get this.
She was like, no, sounds cool. And I was like, all right. Done.
So the green light from her plus the discounts, and it made it all too easy. And so the moral of the story is that you have a battle bus in your front yard.
Yes, it is fucking huge, and it is like a spectacle. Like, it is crazy.
Your neighbors think you're weird?
Oh yeah, they don't know what it is. But so we live right by a grade school, and like the amount, like you can sit in our front, in our living room, and watch people out the window because there's an intersection. Like, so if you imagine looking out my front window to the kind of like straight ahead to the right is like my front yard with battle bus and everything. And then to the left, you could see like the neighborhood intersection of the street. And then that, if you follow that street straight, you get to the grade school, which is on the like just opposite corner from my house. So what happens is cars driving down that street to go to the grade school, like drive past the intersection, stop, back up in the street, turn down my street. And then like all the kids are like looking at it and like mom's taking pictures and stuff. And they turn around my neighbor's driveway and turn back. It's fucking crazy.
That's awesome. Put a donation box out there.
Well, and so here's where this all comes around, how it loops up to back last year. So I was putting my trash out this morning because I heard the fucking garbage truck coming. I was like, oh, shit. I put the garbage out like last second. Garbage guy's like, that thing's fucking sick. Like, do you, this is weird, but like, could you rent that for like birthday parties or anything like that? And I was like, Are you fucking kidding me? Like, it's all
Everything
happening.
going according to plan.
I should have bought it last year. Think of all the money
Yeah.
I left on the table.
Oh, for real,
I
but
mean, that's insane.
better late than never.
So I told him, I was like, no, but like, that's a funny thing you ask, because there's a long story about that.
Are you scared about somebody stealing it?
I'm actually scared of someone fucking with it, yeah, because it is like so huge and elaborate and stuff like that, that I don't know. We'll see.
Everyone that gets like the inflatable pumpkins and stuff like that, or any other holiday stuff in their lawn, it all gets trashed and stolen, and it's can't do anything fun anymore.
I mean, I have a bunch of cameras in my front yard that are like pointing at my driveway and stuff, so like,
Yeah.
if anyone steals it, I will at least have video of them stealing it.
There
Be
you
like,
go.
oh, all right, here's where my battle bus got stolen,
Make
right
some
here.
money off that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your big purchase,
Yeah.
and hopefully that will bring income for years to come. Something else we hope brings you income for years to come is that you
Yeah.
launched Game Club this
Hell
week,
yeah. This is
and it seems like it
awesome.
went okay.
Really good. Yeah, man, like this has been I don't know. It's been real weird kind of like working towards our launch, because like we did our beta early access, and like, people were really, really jazzed about what we were doing, but it was always kind of like, it's hard to judge like the commercial viability of something off of like giving everything away for free, because it's like, of course, people that are just getting like weekly free games are going to be like, oh yeah, this is the shit, like
It's
everything's
great.
amazing, right? And then like when particularly on bigger sites like a MacRumors would post about what we're doing, like all the comments would be like, why, who the fuck would subscribe to this, like this is the dumbest idea, blah blah blah. So I was like, I don't know, like I'm a very optimistic guy, and I thought what we were doing was really cool and everything else, so I was like very optimistic about our launch, but at the same time like trying to be realistic, because like God, like so much shit can go wrong when you're shipping like 50 games. Like I was like, God, anything like starts crashing, or we have any server problems, or like blah 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 blah. There's like so much that could go wrong. And like everything went great. I mean, like honestly, the closest thing we had to any kind of like snafu was like the service we used to send the early access kind of like emails had a little bit of unscheduled downtime the night before, which was fine. It was annoying, but whatever.
In the grand scheme of things, that's nothing.
Yeah, went really well. Really delighted by the response that we've seen. Like giving away the game updates, I think was like super clutch.
That you were able to pull that off, I think, was such a big deal.
Yeah, no, it turned out to be fucking amazing, because like what the end result of that was, because like originally I was like, oh man, like we kind of have to give these away for free, even though we invested like a lot of work into them, because like otherwise we're just gonna get absolutely roasted. So it's kind of a necessity that we did that, like even though it is cool to do, like it was not much of a choice basically. But the unexpected thing that I never considered was the amount of people that like caught wind that like, oh shit, Forget Me Not's playable again. I bought this game like 8 years ago and loved it, and it's been broken for like six. This is insane. And then like those people through that then like found out about Game Club and just like went absolutely apeshit, just downloading other stuff and like subscribing and like everything else, because it was like, I don't know, like the total Trojan horse of like, hey, check it out, we're doing something cool. That, I don't
Well,
know.
and what was cool to me is that because you're able to use like the original app IDs and all that good stuff, anybody that had like I had a couple of games that were now part of Game Club that I didn't realize it, and they're actually separate from the beta version. So I was downloading these beta versions, not realizing that I had the original somewhere on my phone, totally outdated or whatever.
So like the technical reason for that was like we originally weren't gonna use the original binaries, like because it was just like, oh man, I don't know, like this seems like way more complicated to do this purchase restoration stuff. So the earliest betas started as like their own iTunes ID. So like
Interesting.
people that had like the very first like, like Hookchamp or Space Mine or whatever, like to your phone, that's a different game.
Well, it turned out to be a good thing because I got update alerts for those games, which
Oh,
I didn't
cool.
even realize were like still on my phone. And I have tons of shit installed on my phone, obviously, but like, I'm pretty proactive about trying to get rid of stuff I don't play or things I don't want or whatever. But I think that's atypical. Like I think that most people download stuff and it goes in a folder somewhere and it can sit there for years as they get new phones and restore from backups and stuff like that. And so I think part of what I was seeing on comments on Reddit and stuff like that seemed like people were just like, whoa, what's this update? I haven't even thought about this game for so long, and now it's got this free update and now it's working again or whatever. And that's like a super delightful surprise.
Yeah. I know. That's
and
crazy.
Then you saw people figuring out that they could go into their purchase history and see all the different Game Club games that they had owned previously and download them from their purchase history. And I think that's what really set people off going nuts, being like, oh yeah, this one random game I had installed got an update. But then once I start digging, holy crap, all these games I bought over the years are now updated and stuff. And so tons of goodwill from doing that.
Yeah, so it's been huge. Like it's been really cool. And I don't know, it's been overwhelming, like how into it like people are, like once we actually went live outside of like soft launch territories and stuff like that. Like and another thing that like I've put me and the rest of the team have put a lot of like effort into is just like messaging surrounding including Game Club like in the same sentence as like, oh, Apple Arcade Game Club and Google Play Pass are like the three things, you know. And like unprompted, seeing these like major outlets like Macworld and TechCrunch and stuff like that just like doing that was like a serious like, oh fuck, like we're doing it, like this is a really cool thing. So
I think something that you mentioned in one of your interviews where you were like, Apple Arcade handled so much of the messaging us because you know, they released their subscription service and now, and it was super well received. And so everybody already had kind of a crash course in what a subscription was on iOS and how it worked and all that good stuff. Which is probably something you would have had a hard time doing on your own if there was no Apple Arcade.
Yeah, that was always like a big challenge in our early soft launch, was like educating people how a mobile game subscription service worked. Because like, so our like very first like soft launch title would have been in like, I don't know, like March, April-ish, maybe something like that. Like basically very soon after I joined. But and it was tricky because we effectively were like short-circuiting how people consume mobile game content back then. And that it was like, I don't know, you know, me, casual Joe mobile gamer guy, browsing Instagram and I see like an ad for, you know, some high-scoring game from like Ketchup or Voodoo or whatever. I think it sounds cool. I download it, play it for a bit, you know, have fun, and then just delete it. And that's the end of that customer journey, basically.
Yeah.
Whereas like, explain to people like, well, no, I like you do that, but instead of deleting it, you also can play like a bazillion other games that don't have any of the ads or net purchases or any other crazy shit.
Yeah.
Was just like really hard to convey because like when you run Facebook or Instagram ads, you have 15 seconds of video.
Right.
And like the first 3 seconds is the most important. So like,
Now
that you know, like, so with that in mind, like next time you're looking through Facebook or Instagram, like you really start to see the matrix of like, when you see a video ad, like they front load so much because like you basically have 3 seconds and that's what it takes for someone to scroll again.
Right.
So it's really,
what a weird world.
It's been like, honestly, like that's been one of like the really fascinating things about doing Game Club stuff is like really doing like deep dives, analyzing like what advertising works in that format and why. So I don't know. It's just an interesting thing, I guess, when you're looking at Instagram or whatever, but Game Club launch has gone really well. Some of the games that weren't in the early access beta include like the Deathbat Avenged Sevenfold game.
Yeah, love that game.
And a couple, there's four, I think four others that I'm like completely brain farting on what they are. But like, I don't know, just like a bunch of good stuff that we didn't have, you know, anything that I didn't have time to release them. Or the Avenged Sevenfold one, we kind of held back because, you know, just complicating things with like, you know, their huge social media following and stuff. Like,
I
wanted to like hold that for when we launch and not just fill up a test flight and have all those people be like, all right, cool, I'm out, thanks, see ya.
Yeah,
because they have like a reach of like millions of people.
Yeah, they and that I love that game. I know a lot of people did it, but I'm such a fan of that game. And something I don't think was in the beta, or maybe I just missed it, that I thought was an interesting pickup was the Vectrex app.
Yeah. That's another really cool one. Like that I was excited to bring back because I always thought Vectrex was so cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, I don't remember the other two that were in. I don't know. Whatever. I'll remember it later.
So
But
over 50 games, and then you're going to do weekly releases. You've already spilled the beans that next week is Minigore, which
yeah,
that's a
next
big
week's
deal game.
Minigore. We're still dealing with a couple last minute Apple rejection things, just trying to get a few bugs fixed and stuff. So like, all fingers crossed that is going to come out next week. It should. I don't. That would be insane if it didn't, but we'll see. So yeah, that's a really big one. The other interesting thing about the Avenged Sevenfold stuff is that, and we kind of got into this when we actually covered the game the first time, was M Shadows, like the main front man of Avenged Sevenfold, is like, if you don't know anything about the dude, like personally, because like, why would you? Because he's just a musician, right? But he's like, he's like this like hardcore heavy metal, like, you know, singer guy that is just like one of those people. You're like, oh man, that guy's a fucking badass. Like, I don't know what he's like, but he's got to be
a
just
game nerd.
Yeah, he is. Like, it has been insane. Like, he has been the most engaged developer in like of all of Game Club. Like, we've got a lot of really engaged developer, like original developers, but like this dude. Like, it is insane how many times he must have played through Deathbat to like send in like these like extremely detailed, like weird little things to add and
that's so sick.
Stuff like that.
Well, it was funny because when the game came out, like that was his dream, was to make a game. And so when the game released, it's like everyone's like, oh, this looks like a PS1 game. And he's like, yes, that's what I was going for. I wanted to make a PS1 game because that's what I grew up playing. And I wanted to make something that was like all the games I liked playing back then. And so it's like funny that he achieved that goal. And it spoke to people like me that also love, you know, PS1 games and stuff like that, and kind of like appreciated the game for what it was. But like at the time, I feel like there was kind of a graphics arms race on the App Store and stuff like that. And, you know, to see something come out with kind of like these low poly textures and models and stuff like that, and, you know, looking like a PS1 game.
Well, it's so strange. I mean, like, because we've kind of talked about that when the PlayStation Mini or whatever got released, and that like that era of games, just like, I don't know what it is about early 3D, but it's like, if you look at like, you know, Super Nintendo, everyone still loves, has aged flawlessly. A lot of the like 2D PlayStation games, you know, like Bubsy and stuff like that, like still look really good, like Rayman and all that. But like, you got into like the 3D world and people are just like, oh, that's gnarly.
Yeah.
So I guess it wasn't super surprising that like Deathbat had that reaction, but like that's what they were going for, which is a visual style thing, which I don't know. I thought that was neat, but yeah, like M Shadows would send me these emails being like, hey, just played through the game again, you know, on a flight. In hardcore mode, second to last boss, there's a destructible wall that could be just a little bit more hidden. If you guys don't mind, like stuff like that. It was really cool.
That makes
like,
me so happy to know. To
like
that
this dude was like so into his game, because like, I think a lot of the reaction it got when it first launched was a lot of people that like didn't do like the interview coverage that we did, kind of like looked at the press release and stuff, were like, oh yeah, you're super involved in game development, total gamer. Yeah, sure, whatever.
I think a lot of people could assume, like, because of its old school look and stuff like that, it'd be like, oh, you just got some boner third party to make a whatever game and slapped your name all over it like everything else.
Yeah.
And not knowing that, like, that guy was super involved in every step of that game's development.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, so with how involved he was with just, like, random, like, little tweaks and bug fixes and stuff, like, I cannot imagine how involved he must have been in its original development. Like, it had to have just been, like, insane.
That's awesome.
So...
Well, I love that game. I'm happy to be able to play it again along with so many others.
Yeah.
And Game Club is a really good service, and I think it's awesome you have a 1 month free trial like Apple Arcade did, because I think that got a lot of people to try Apple Arcade and then be pleasantly surprised. A lot of the naysayers, I think, will actually experience it and be like, you know what? Damn.
Yeah.
Some good games on $5 a month is pretty cheap. So I think you'll probably get a lot of that reaction from people that try out the trial of Game Club too.
Yeah. Hopefully. Well, yeah, what I found, like, what's been kind of amusing is that like people that are like in the mobile game scene are like, $5, I don't know. Like, it's been kind of funny. Whereas like people outside of that, like parents with kids and stuff like that, are like, holy shit, are you kidding me? Like, for $5 a month I can just like set my kid loose on this and there's nothing inappropriate and there's no ads and everything else. Like, I would pay you way more than $5. Like, why is it so cheap? You know?
Yeah. It's very crazy.
It's interesting. But yeah, so I guess just to clarify things for people, because the one thing that kind of like the naysayers have been harping on is like, why would I pay for old games? Which, like, okay, fair. But this is just like, look at this as like phase one of Game Club, more or less, right? Like, so we've got plans in the future, already working on, like, remember the phase of the Touch Arcade for like upcoming games forum, where it was like you'd have these developers that were like posting about these like really good looking premium games. And I think I actually might have mentioned this last week before, and then they just kind of like vanish, you know? And then show up on Switch. Like, we're working on bringing those back. And then after that, we're going to start producing original content. So, like, don't look at this in a sense of like, this is all Game Club will be. Like, this is the first step of what's going to turn into something like really, really cool. So, that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think the people that are like, who would want to pay for old games are probably people like me that have bought Super Mario Brothers 30 different times in my lifetime.
Yeah, for sure. And like, the other cool thing too, and I'm sure I've talked about this multiple times too, is like the amount of people in our early access program that like never played these games the first time around and are just like, dude, this Space Miner thing is fucking awesome. Like, where did this even come from? Has been insane.
Over 10 years of the App Store being around, and a lot of people, I mean, iPhone's only gotten popular over the years, you know what I mean? And so gaming on it, there's many, many, many titles people could have missed out on the first time around or didn't realize even existed. They could have like launched, had their success, and then flamed out all before somebody got their first iOS device. So a lot of these are new to a lot of people. And then like your analogy that you've used before, where if you couldn't go back and like show your kids Super Mario Brothers or something like that would be a super tragedy. And I kind of feel the same way about things like Hook Champ and stuff like that. Like, with my son starting to get old enough, and I'm like, dude, this is the game we were super into when I first got into iPhone gaming and stuff, and, you know, competing with people on the forums and stuff like that. It'd be fun to show him those sorts of things instead of being like, yeah, I used to play this cool game on my phone.
Yeah, here, watch this shitty YouTube video.
Yeah, watch this really fuzzy YouTube video. So, the game preservation side of things, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
But revisiting all these games, too, it's been so long, even for somebody that knows them all, like me, replaying them now, it's always like, damn, like, this was a really good game. Or, like, you forget how good it was, or maybe you didn't realize how good some of these games were in the first run around. So it's all around just a good thing, and I think $5 a month is super cheap for it.
Yeah, so check out our app, check out our trailer. I put so much work into our fucking trailer, it's insane. Trailer is a banger of a trailer. App is cool.
Just real quick, the app is crazy good too. Download the app for sure, because it's free and it's filled with a lot of really good content that I didn't realize you poached Sean for, you sneaky.
Yeah, me and Sean double tag team.
Sean Musgrave, that writes for Touch Arcade, actually wrote all of the content and your stories tab, which includes like developer interviews and tips and tricks articles and deep dives into games history and stuff like that. All the stuff that Sean's like A+ good at, he wrote up for your guys' app. So like, the app itself is worth spending time in just to read all of that really good content.
Yeah. So I told Sean, like, my approach to him, I was like, I have a project for you. I do not want this in any way to take away from anything you're doing for Touch Arcade. So just, if that's okay, I can continue this conversation. Otherwise, no bueno.
Well, I appreciate that, but I also don't mind that you used him, because, like, if I had my way, I'd have him write more stuff for us every day. I think that's more due to him having like a life and family and full-time job and owns his own business and all that stuff. So
hell yeah,
the stuff we do are able to get out of Sean is a nice treat anyway. But the app is just filled with really good stuff, so make sure and download that and check out all that stuff in addition to doing the free trial and checking out the games themselves. So
hell yeah.
Anyway, long live Game Club. I'm sure we'll be talking about that more in the future.
Moving on, episode 420 here. What's our next story?
Episode 420, the Game Club shilling episode.
Yeah, basically.
we might have to move through these a little bit quickly. But so Black Desert Mobile is an MMORPG. Black Desert Online, actually, the desktop version. And I believe consoles now, too. Really popular MMORPG that's been, you know, talked about coming to mobile for a really long time. Finally actually has a release date. It's up for pre-order on iOS and Android. It should be coming out December 12th. But they've also soft launched it on Android this week, starting yesterday or Wednesday, I think. So if you're on Android, you can actually go play it and play the soft launch version now in several different countries. But
yeah, this is cool. I'm stoked.
Yeah, this is one of our writers that was really heavy into MMOs was like, this is the one that like people have been waiting for. Like everyone's always, where's the really good mobile MMORPG? And there's some good ones out there, but I feel like nobody's really nailed it. But I think
this one is only mobile, right? There's not a desktop component.
There is a desktop component. I'm not entirely sure if they if it's cross-platform. So there might be a separate desktop version.
See, I'd be curious.
This is a separate mobile version, but
yeah, I'd be curious like where this lands.
I feel like it has to be cross-platform. It would make no sense to have two separate ones, but I don't know for sure.
I don't know. But I'd be really curious, like someone that's super into mobile MMOs, like to like compare and contrast this with like RuneScape, a new RuneScape, like which.
Well, that's going to be in early access before the end of the year too. So these guys are going to be battling it out.
Yeah, because that's really cool.
Those I think are the two that people are looking forward to most. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Dude, can you imagine how much of your fucking life would be deleted if you had like a RuneScape on your phone and you were in like junior high right now?
Oh God, I can't even think about it.
It would be insane.
Just having a smartphone for me at school, I can't even imagine that life. So
it would be insane.
Pretty crazy. Upcoming action platformer that caught my eye that I thought looked really cool is called Cracked Crusaders. It's coming out on November 5th. And it's kind of a cutesy, reminds me of like Goblin Sword or Sword of Zolan, which are two of my favorite action platformers on mobile. Looks similar to that in that you're doing a lot of running, a lot of jumping, a lot of hacking and slashing, defeating enemies. There's big boss fights. There's really good pixel art, all that good kind of stuff.
Yeah, that looks right.
I believe there's over 100 levels, so should keep you busy for a while. But it's going to be free with ads, I believe, and then there's like a in-app purchase to remove them, and then that purchase will also unlock a couple extra character skins and things like that. But looks really good. Check out the trailer, and then that'll be launching. God, is November 5th next week? That's just about
2 weeks from now, I think.
Okay. This year is flying by.
God, I'm trying to figure out how to mute my notifications on my PC so video people aren't hearing like email noises. But I'm sorry, I'm doing that while we're talking. So
that's okay. Anyway, it's coming out soonish, and looks really good. Cracked Crusaders.
Yeah, that's cool.
This is a good thing that happened this week. The mobile version of Skullgirls, the fighting game, finally got its real-time online multiplayer, which is something they had been working towards for ever since they started this project over 2 years ago. And I was able to play beta versions of this at various points. I think most recently was GDC in March, and it worked super well back then. So I think it's probably only gotten better since then. But essentially, you can go on and play multiplayer against other people in Skullgirls Mobile, which is like, that's what fighting games are about, right? Like, it's, you know, cool to play against AI and stuff like that, but you want to fight other real human beings, and allows.
Yeah, I'm just kind of blown away by how much effort they've put into this game. Like,
it does really well, and it's got a really passionate community behind it. So, you know, it's free to play, and there's like some free to play stuff in it, but it's nowhere near in the same league as something like Contest of Champions or Injustice, mm-hmm. where you feel like you've wasted your life playing through it or whatever. Like, they've really done a good job of having meaningful mechanics and meaningful, you know, things to achieve in the game, and adding all sorts of new modes and stuff over the years and whatever. And it's all kind of culminating in this real-time multiplayer. And I really like how they implemented it, too. So there's two separate multiplayer modes. One of them is called competitive mode. And that basically gives you a selection of characters that all have predetermined stats, so that, you know, if you pick one character and your opponent picks the other character or picks the same character, you're both going to be the same stats wise. So basically, that's making a level playing field for everybody playing. And then there's another mode called Free for All. And this is the mode where you can take in all of the characters that you've earned in the game and upgraded and stuff like that, with crazy items and abilities and things like that. So, you know, it's not necessarily balanced. It's going to be you bringing your best A-game fighters to the matches. So I thought it was really smart to have something that's totally even playing field for everyone, and then something that's totally like, hey, use all of your maxed out crazy characters and see how good you can do.
Oh, yeah. This is so really cool. Smart. Like, I remember when this game first came out, and I was like, this seems fine. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Nothing wrong with this fighting game. It seems good. Yeah. I don't know, kind of whatever. And it's just like evolved into like this is arguably like the fighting game to get.
I think it's the best mobile fighter, like,
and
hands
it's
down.
totally free. I mean, like yeah, there's like, you have shit you can buy in the game if you want, but like, have you spent any money on this? Like,
I think I might have a couple times when there's been like a special offer or something like that, but not significant and not anywhere close to what I've done in Contest of Champions or Injustice. And those are times when I did spend money in those games, I always like felt bad about it. You know what I mean? Yeah, the monetization in this game is more or less, you know, collecting characters through gacha, and that's about it. And even if you don't have all the best characters or whatever, you know, you're not really at a disadvantage. You can play against other characters that are similar level, or you can play that competitive mode where everyone's picking the same leveled characters anyway. So I thought that was really smart. But yeah, it's a fun, they renamed it with this update to Skullgirls Fighting RPG. And I think that's actually a good way of describing it, because it is about like progressing your characters and collecting them and upgrading them and stuff like that. It does have a lot of RPG mechanics for those, whether you play online or not, just playing through all the story content and stuff like that. So, love Skullgirls Mobile. This update actually coincided with the launch of Skullgirls on Switch this week. And so, if you log into the mobile version, you'll actually get a little bonus package to celebrate the Switch launch of Skullgirls, too. So,
Yeah,
check
awesome.
that out. Check the game out if you haven't before. It's a fun one.
Very awesome. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about that.
Yeah. This was kind of a funny story. So Suda 51 and Swery 65 were doing a stream about, I don't know, No More Heroes or something like that, and dropped a bombshell that they were working on a horror game together, and that the game could come to mobile. And they also mentioned Switch and Stadia as possible platforms.
This was interesting to me how this blew up to this extent, because like my read of it was just very like nonchalant, like, oh yeah, come to a bunch of platforms, and like people are like, whoa, oh my god, it's Stadia mobile, oh god.
I always wonder how much of that is chalked up to people that just aren't good at translating or something like that, or some mistranslation or whatever. The funny addendum to that is that they originally, everyone reported that it was being published by Devolver Digital, and Devolver Digital on Twitter was like, "We don't know anything about this. What are you talking about?" And apparently, it's actually that they're just in talks with publishers, and Devolver might be one of the publishers, but nothing's set or whatever. So yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. But hey, if these dudes get together and make a game and it comes to mobile, that's cool. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah,
So
I got no problems with
something we'll keep our eye on going
any of
forward.
that.
This was an upcoming game that I thought looked awesome. It's from the guy that made Prize Fighters, which was
Oh
like a very.
shit, Prize Fighters. I haven't thought of that game in ages.
Really?
I'm gonna
Well,
download
Prize
that right
Fighters,
now.
it's a super Punch-Out inspired boxing game for mobile, but more looks-wise than anything else. Mechanics-wise, it's more of a kind of arcadey boxing simulator. And it's an excellent, excellent boxing game. Probably the best on mobile at all. He's added a ton of stuff to it over the last couple of years since it's been out, new modes and things like that. Well, he's also been working on a new game called Hoop League Tactics. And I thought this was just a really interesting kind of mashup of genres. He wanted to make a basketball game that's mixed together with a turn-based strategy game like XCOM. And I was like, what? But then I started watching some of the videos and I was like, holy crap, basketball can totally be a turn-based game. And so if you watch some of the trailers for this, it's really interesting. I mean, it's turn-based, so you know, the guy with the ball, you decide how many squares he can move,
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
that changes the stats of the person that's like blocking him or guarding him, and just all these different ways where he's weaved in basketball into being a turn-based strategic game. And I just think it's really, really pretty brilliant.
You know
So.
what someone needs to do next is take the auto chess genre, but apply it to a sports game.
I don't see why you couldn't,
That would
right?
actually be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love shit like this because like I've never been a sports person. Like I don't know, like the closest thing I got to a sport I enjoyed was like playing floor hockey in gym class.
Right.
But I always like these like weird spins on sports, like the like Hot Shots Golf series, Mario Golf,
Yeah.
Golf Story,
Yeah.
and like the Mutant League games. Like those are all
Yeah.
really good. So this is like 100% up my alley.
Yeah, I just think it's funny that you think of a game like basketball, which is pretty much nonstop action from the start to finish. Well, that's not totally true because there's so many fouls and free throw attempts. But, you know, besides that, like, it's a game of constant movement. So to think of it in a turn-based terms doesn't seem like it would fit. But then you watch how he's done it, and it totally works. So interested to play this one. It's in closed beta right now, but you can tell him you want to try out the beta if you visit the thread in the forums, which is linked in the story. And then there should be a public beta sometime next month, and then he's hoping to release in December. So it won't be that far out. Yeah, but based awesome. On Prize Fighters, pretty excited for this one. I think it'll be good.
Hell yeah, that's exciting. That's cool.
This next story I thought was just really a good reason for us to talk about Earn to Die.
Shit, I love Earn to Die.
I knew that would be your reaction.
I love so, that game.
Not Doppler, who brought Earn to Die to mobile several years ago, and both of us were obsessed with it because it was just like one of those games that had like the perfectly tuned hooks to get you to want to play one more run, one more run, one more run. And each run you'd get a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further.
Scientists should study the progression curve of that game. It is so
fucking perfect. You couldn't stop playing it until you've like maxed everything out and, you know, essentially beat the game or whatever. But what it was is a side-scrolling kind of like wacky physics driving game, and it sort of was similar to something like Burrito Bison, those cannonball launcher games or whatever, except that you were driving and seeing how far you could get before your car.
What's the name of this genre? I always call them just see how far you can go games.
Launcher genre, I think, is officially
really?
What
launcher
they're...
Interesting.
But this is more of like a racing launcher game, but that anyway. A game that's very similar to that is called Renegade Racing, and it kind of takes that similar side-scrolling vehicle, wacky physics thing, but adds other players into the mix and makes it an actual racing game.
Well, so these got their start as like Flash games, right?
Renegade Racing was a really popular Flash game. I think it launched in 2013, and they say it's had over 180 million players, so I guess it's popular.
Yeah.
But they're going to be bringing Earn to Die was also a Flash game, and so was some of the other games they published on mobile. So they're going to be bringing this from Flash and from the web to iOS and Android. And, you know, as they've done previously, too, I think they're going to be adding some improvements and adding new content and stuff like that. So it's not just going to be exactly like the Flash version. But, yeah, it looks really awesome. They don't have a launch date or anything, but they've said in the coming weeks, which tells me probably pretty close. So.
Yeah, so if you're between Earn to Die and Earn to Die 2, I would probably just start with the second one. I don't really remember the difference between the two beyond like Earn to Die 2 just being like better.
I would imagine 2 is probably the improved version, and that if you played 1 first, you probably would wear yourself out on it and not have the desire to want to play 2 right away. So maybe just start
so good.
With
so yeah. good. It's so good. Fun. It's stupid.
So Forever Lost is a adventure game series that came out several years ago on mobile that was quite a hit, and it's one of those things that launched episodically and took a few years to finally get finished, but once it did, the developers started working on a new game called Veritas, and they talked about this originally like I think 2 years ago almost to the day, and it was supposed to come out in 2018 and it didn't, and then it got delayed to 2019, and now it's not coming out in 2019 either. But they did peg down an actual release date, which is February of next year. So not delayed too far. And it actually has a actual release date, which is really cool. But I think if you played Forever Lost, you're going to want to play this one too. It's based around you waking up in some strange facility. And the only memory you have is that you signed up to be part of this weird experiment run by some crazy corporation called Veritas Industries. And basically, you can't trust anything you hear or anyone you talk to. You don't know why you're there. So you're trying to figure all that out, and then you're trying to escape this weird facility that you seem to be trapped in by your own choosing, apparently. Sounds like it's got a pretty cool storyline and stuff, and should be another good point-and-click adventure.
Am I crazy, or is Project Veritas like some like shithead YouTube thing, too?
Oh, it could be. I don't know. I didn't dig into it that hard. But
I don't know. Whatever. I just ran it might thought.
So yeah, look for that one. February is the actual release date, and I believe you can play a demo that they have if you join their Discord or whatever. I think they're giving out a demo. I'm not sure if it's on iOS or if it's desktop only, but if you just can't wait, You can track down how to get a hold of that demo. Otherwise, you can play this one in February.
I cannot wait.
So this was a fun surprise. Seabeard got updated. I guess this can go hand in hand with something I didn't post about and didn't.
Yeah, I was. I knew where you're going with this.
But this was a collaboration between Hand Circus, who we all know from being the people that made Rolando, and Backflip Studios, which has made a bajillion hit games, but probably most well known for Dragon Veil. They collaborated several years back to make Seabeard, which is, for all intents and purposes, an Animal Crossing knockoff. Mm-hmm. And this is before there was an actual Animal Crossing game on mobile and stuff like that. And people were super excited for this to come out, and it came out. And I think it kind of was 50-50. Like, a lot of people were disappointed in it because it was so play, and I think a lot of people really latched onto it and enjoyed it.
Like, to me, I think that we were, like, really stoked for this to be, like, the Animal Crossing of mobile, and then it turned out to be, like,
quite
the
that.
Animal Crossing of mobile if it was, like, extremely free to play.
Yeah.
And not really Animal Crossing at all. And, like, I never really got a handle for, like, how much of that was, like, backflips tuning it, or how much of that was just the game all along. Because, like, I remember, like, early demos at GDC or whatever. And again, like, it's so hard to get, like, demos of free-to-play games because it's like, oh, here, try the game. It has unlimited currency. Oh, this box, I'll just push this and skip it kind of thing.
Right.
So it gives you, like, a really weird, like, jilted view of the game, whereas, like, I don't know, like, the Seabeard as it was released was just, like, not what I was expecting.
Yeah,
so
same.
The other interesting thing, part of this, is you noticed that it changed hands back to Hand Circus. It's no longer a backflip game.
Oh, I didn't notice that, actually.
So it makes me wonder if the timing of this isn't coincidental with, like, backflip shutting down.
Yeah.
Them getting the game back, and it makes me want to try this again to see if it's balanced any differently.
Well, that that's interesting. So the other part of this story is that news broke this week that Backflip Studios was shutting down, which on the one hand I find shocking, on the other hand I find not shocking whatsoever.
Yeah.
But you might remember that they were purchased by Hasbro, the gigantic toy company Hasbro, in like 2014 or 15 or something like that. It was a few years ago now. And you know, it was like a nice partnership for a while. They made some Hasbro branded mobile games and stuff like that. But ultimately, a lot of the people we knew from Backflip, which we've had a great relationship for 10 plus years since they've been on the App Store, a lot of the key people that we knew from that had quietly moved on to new jobs and things like that. And so looking back, I feel like the writing was probably on the wall. But it sort of seems like one of those cases where a huge company buys a smaller studio and doesn't know what to do with it anymore. And so they just shut it down. And that's kind of seems like what's happening with Backflip. But it from what I've heard from the I think it was the Game Industry article that broke this news and stuff, and they spoke to some former employees, it sounds like they're treating everyone right in terms of severance packages and stuff like that.
That's
and
good,
it's not like, yeah, it's not like they're kicking them to the curb and screwing anyone over or whatever. But it does mean that people are losing their jobs and have to find new jobs, and so that's always a shame. And it does mean that one of really mobile's biggest, you know, company developers ever,
huge.
You know, even going back to like the waste basket toss or what the hell
paper
was there?
Paper toss.
Paper toss, which was like one of the early simple, you know, catch app style games before there was ever a catch app.
Yeah, dude, like I remember, God, I don't know if it was WWDC or GDC or what, hanging out with those guys, and they're like, guys, keep this on the down low, but like we've fucking cracked mobile. And the way we do it is like we have all these games, like a few different like easy games that are just fun to fun pick up and play stuff. I like remember like Strike Knight, remember like the shuffleboard bowling game and stuff like that? And they're like, yeah, so here's what you do. You run ads in your games, but when you're launching a new game, you flip all the ads over to just advertise that game. And like, and now it sounds laughable, right? But like back then it was like, holy shit, like don't
they
tell anyone this secret. This is insane.
Yeah, they had just a vast cross-promotion network, which was really impressive for, you know, the size of their studio and stuff. And
well, like I remember when the Touch Arcade app launched, they like fired the lasers at it, and it was like, holy shit, like this is too many downloads you're sending us. Like our servers can't handle this. This is crazy. So that was, I don't know. And the early Backflip people were such cool guys. Yeah, I got nothing but good things to say about all them. And it just sucks. This is kind of like the inevitable life cycle of a company, right? Where it's like you make a bunch of money, you do really well, someone eventually comes to you with like an offer you basically can't refuse because it's so ridiculous. You eventually move on to do other things, and then the company that bought you just kind of like farts it into the ground,
Yep, that's about it.
which
And
is not a unique story for Backflip at all, so.
no, but it's like kind of crazy to think of a company that's had such massive success have to shut down like that. But it's unclear really what's going to happen to Dragon Veil, because that game's still crazy popular and has a ton of users. And it kind of sounds like they're going to ship it off to somebody to keep it maintained and keep it going, even with Backflip actually going down. So be interesting to see what happens to that. But I'm glad you picked up on the fact that Seabeard is back in Hand Circus's
I
umbrella
think
on the
it's
App
worth a
Store.
closer look because it wouldn't surprise me if it got like a whole economy retune.
I was going to replay it anyway, because I'm always interested in games that haven't been updated. I think it had been over 2 years since this game was updated at all. And I think the last update was simply a 64-bit fix for the whole 32-bit thing. So I don't think they added or changed anything. Now it works well on all screen sizes. It actually has landscape and portrait support now, which I think is really smart. And so if they're putting that kind of love into it, I wouldn't be surprised to see them, having rebalanced it or whatever, and not really caring too much if it's like maximized and tuned to be the most monetized thing around. So I was going to download it and check it out again anyway, just to give it a fresh pair of eyes a few years later after not really loving it when it first came out. So you should do the same. You should
I
download the
will.
game again, check
I'm
it
gonna check
out.
it out.
Fresh updated.
No, it's so crazy. I feel bad for the Backflip guys because like they got bought because of Dragon Veil, because like Hasbro was like, holy fuck, like these guys are on fire. Like this Dragon Veil game is insane. And I remember talking to him and be like, God, there is so much pressure to create another Dragon Veil. And
Yeah,
like
well, they
what?
were working on a sequel for a long
Well,
time
I think
that
Dragon
I
Veil
think
2 did come out, didn't it? But it just like ne
Oh, maybe.
never did as well as the original Dragon Veil. And like it's just like one of those things like Hasbro, I don't know whether they realized it or not at the time, but it was like they bought a company, or it's like going to someone that got a winning lottery ticket and then being like, okay, let me give you money to buy another ticket. And it's like that's just like not how it
The
works. They were
lightning in
just
the
like,
bottle wasn't going to be captured
yeah,
in that.
and I don't think they ever did anything wrong. I mean, the second Dragon Veil is a fucking great game. Like it was really well done and everything else, but like there's just some unattainable, indescribable like quality about launching a game at the right place at the right time, like having the right community, that's just impossible to control, like even if you have like the best people. So
Totally true.
I don't know.
So we'll see, but I will give Seabeard another fair shake. We'll see what happened with that game,
Hell
because I
yeah.
love Hand Circus. And then the final thing I had to talk about this week was just that Apple's new batch of Apple Arcade games was released, and it's been interesting to watch. They do seem to be in a routine now where they're releasing either 4 or 5 new games on a Friday, every Friday, barring that first Friday after it launched. So they've added, I think, close to 20 new games now.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. So the games this week is kind of a weird mixture. I think the one I'm most excited about is called Yaga from Versus Evil,
Oh
and
yeah,
it's
I'm
like
most excited to get into that hogwash game. It looks super silly.
Hogwatch is from Bossa Studios, and they made like I Am Brad and all those, Surgeon Simulator and all those wacky, hard to control on purpose games. And this game is very hard to control, and I don't know if it's on purpose or not, but I feel like it's not fun because it's so hard to control. But it's kind of a funny game about running around as a pig and shaking mud on things, and then you can also play as the farmer trying to prevent the pigs from shaking mud on things. And it's kind of a silly setup, but I don't know. We'll see how that one fares. But the rest of the games all look pretty cool.
Well, what's
Yeah, Yaga
interesting,
looks really good.
is it multiplayer required with Hogwash, or is it just like,
No.
okay.
I think you choose which mode you want to play. Do you want to be a pig? Do you want to be a farmhand or whatever? I don't know if it has any online or anything like that. But Fallen Knight looks like a pretty cool action platformer. Tales of Mimo is based on the memory game, like the card game where you put the cards down and flip two over at a time and then try to make matches based on where you remember the placement of the cards were, which I always equate to the mini game in Super Mario Bros. 3, because that's probably
Oh,
the
yeah.
most memory I've played in my life is through that mini game. But somebody very cleverly used that mechanic and as like a puzzle battler. And so you're playing memory, but when you make matches, you get to launch your attack at this enemy, and it's actually like a battling game, which I thought was pretty clever. I always like, you know, match three battlers and stuff like that, or people that can think, you know, blackjack or king cashing games, which are part of Game Club. You know, taking a mechanic like that and building an actual, like, fleshed out game around it, I think is really smart. So interested to try that one out. And then Lifelike is from the Konami brother, who they made Euclidean Lands, and Frost was one of their popular games. Really, really artsy, kind of crazy games. This one, I'm not even sure if it is a game or if it's like a digital toy sort of thing. It kind of reminds me of like Flower, where it's like, yeah, it's kind of a game, but we only put gamey stuff in it because we had to. Otherwise, we just wanted to make like a really artsy simulator or whatever.
And this this pig game has very mediocre controls. I'm like unable to play it almost.
It's like impossible to play, right? Like to a frustrating level, not yeah, to like, oh, this is like, you know, charmingly broken controls. It's like, dude, you guys screwed this up, right?
Yeah, like the very first thing it has you do is like charge into another pig to like untie him. And like I have missed him.
Are you just bouncing off the environment and stuff?
That's like, this is crazy.
Yeah, it reminds me of a bad game from like the PS2 era or something.
Yeah, that's but, wild. What the
hell? I like the concept of it, which sucks. So anyway, but yeah, a new batch of Apple Arcade games. Curious to see what they're going to be doing going forward. Are they going to do? They have games that, you know, each week seems to feature a mixture of games that have been announced and ones that were total surprises. So it makes me wonder how long they can keep this up. Four or five new games each week, and how many they have that nobody's heard of yet that, you know, we don't even know are part of Apple Arcade or whatever. So yeah, I don't know. Interested to see what Apple's strategy is, but Apple Arcade, I think, has been pretty awesome so far, and it definitely is fun. Like we talked about before, I thought they launched with too many games at once anyway, but you know, the weekly release, kind of like what Game Club is doing, is like a reason to come back every week, and it's like a fun surprise. I think Apple Arcade is kind of trying to do that now with their weekly releases, so yeah, we'll see.
That's cool. But I've been happy with the stuff so far. I mean, it's pretty neat to just get like a game dump every week that's just like all included, right?
It is, and it's fun to like go through and try new games and be like, you know, not worried if you don't like it or whatever, not be like, oh man, I spent money on this and I feel like I have to like it or whatever. And just try things and know that there's never going to be an ad thrown up out of nowhere or have to worry about buying in-app stuff or whatever.
Yeah. What's weird though, I don't know if I'm like just a weirdo, but I've like really found that there's like very few of like the Apple Arcade games all look really good, but like there's very few that have been like, oh, I'm obsessed with this. Like,
you know, out of there, I think there's about 90 games now. Like, I think there's a dozen that I would look at and be like, holy crap, this could be a Switch game. Or, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this feels like a real deal gamey game. And then there's a lot of very good, what I'd call mobile games, where it's like a quick, sort of like quirky, arcadey type game, but just done very well and without freemium stuff.
Yeah.
Which I think that's nice too. But, you know, as we've said a long time ago, free-to-play games, if everyone just ripped all the free-to-play stuff out, you'd have a game you'd beat in 5 minutes and it would be boring. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of those games, you know, have that same issue.
So. Well, what's interesting is that people have been, like, losing their minds over Grindstone, which is actually one of my favorite games in Apple Arcade.
You love Grindstone, yeah.
But, God, like, is there a more transparent, like, oh, this was going to be free-to-play than Grindstone in Apple Arcade?
Yeah, there's been a few of them.
Because you can tell, like, when you like play it, that like the very first time, the thing that really sticks out in the tutorial is when it's like, oh, go to the blacksmith and like give him a pattern or whatever, and he makes you this upgrade thing, and it's just like, okay, this is where you would wait 3 hours, but sure, I'll just take this immediately,
right?
But it's just so interesting because like people, that game got like a lot of like really good coverage in like the larger game sites who are like, finally, this is how a game should be made. Like, finally, there's a no bullshit mobile game. And it's like, dude, this game, like, you could have probably played this and just chosen to ignore the free to play stuff and it would have been exactly the same.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know. You know how it goes.
It's funny. I mean, it's funny. It's all perception sometimes. So, you know, if you're perceiving that you're not being grifted, then you'll be happy about it.
It really makes you wonder if like Cappy had released as a free-to-play game, what the response would have been. Would it have been like, finally someone made a good free-to-play game, or
I don't know.
Or would it be, oh, Cappy sold out, or I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting. So I like following Apple Arcade and seeing what they're doing and whatever, but I like the 1-2 punch of Apple Arcade and Game Club. I feel like set for life on video games
now. Good spread of content.
Yeah, that's about all I had to talk about. And my time to babysit is coming up in just a few minutes.
So we'll
probably wrap this up and drive the first season of the Tetracade show off the freeway on ramp. Episode 420.
420.
Yeah, so how's this work? We'll start season two next week, and then we'll see you at episode 840. And that'll be season two. Finale.
No, I think it's episode one, season two.
I'm scared to restart the numbering. I feel like we need to go as high as possible. As high as possible. Episode 420, right? Get it?
Very funny.
Well, we'll see. We'll either see episode one of season two next week or episode 421. I'm not really sure, but whatever the case, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. And thank you to everybody that's listened to us for however long you have been listening to us.
Yeah,
and
wow.
If that's since episode one,
Jesus,
podcast@tetracade.com, send us an email because I might want to like interview you or something.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That would be amazing to be a 10 year strong podcast listener.
That would be insane.
So as I failed to mention at the beginning of the show, as I often do, Tetracade is primarily supported through its readers and viewers and listeners. And so if you like what we do and want to see us continue doing it, please consider supporting us through patreon.com/TetRcade, where as little as $1 a month will get you exclusive features like a few extra minutes before the podcast starts, as well as a video version of the podcast and some other odds and ends that are always cool. Likewise, you can support us by doing your Amazon shopping through TetRcade.com/Amazon, and we'll get a little tiny slice of whatever you'd be buying anyway and keep it out of that greedy Jeff Bezos' pocket. Mm-hmm. And if it comes to us, then we promise to pay our employees a good wage. Yeah. Our one employee. Awesome. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening to this entire season of the Tetracade show, and we will be back with you with another new episode next week.
Hell yeah. Thanks, everyone.